the most delightfully fascinating character in the realms of mystery, Earl Derbigger's Charlie Chan. Inspector Charlie Chan of the Honolulu Police Force is engaged in trying to solve the murder of Colonel Willoughby. The elderly colonel had been struck down in the hallway of Mr. Blake's house in San Francisco. Inspector Chan feels that the murder had some connection with the colonel's search for his son, who had supposedly committed suicide during the war. Simmons, Mr. Blake's butler, falls under suspicion since he steadfastly refuses to talk. But Inspector Chan is convinced that Simmons did not commit murder. Sir Reginald Bartleby, also a guest, accompanies Miss Mitchell, the murdered man's secretary, to search the colonel's hotel room, where they find a stranger going through the colonel's papers. Charlie Chan arrives on the scene, and after ordering Sergeant O'Brien to take the man to prison, he announces to the others that the prisoner is none other than the missing son, Douglas Willoughby, Jr.
Are you really serious, Chan?
Most assuredly, my dear Doc. I am certain of it. Mr. Jim Watson is none other than the colonel's lost son.
I suppose you'll laugh at my woman's intuition, but that's what I felt.
You see, Duff, from the moment Sergeant O'Brien mentioned the fact that Colonel Willoughby had been murdered, the young man's expression completely changed.
I wasn't watching particularly at the moment. What did he do?
Up until that moment, he seemed to be somewhat concerned with the predicament in which he found himself. But with the announcement that the colonel had been murdered, a look of pain crossed his feature. He was stunned. There was no acting. He was genuinely shocked.
Well, that, of course, would tend to show him innocent of the murder, at least.
But it wasn't that sort of a look. I mean, it wasn't that he was amazed or anything like that. He was... Well, you've seen people who've received word of the sudden death of a relative or friend. It was exactly like that.
Added to that, Duff, a little Chinese saying.
What do you mean, Charlie?
Through the eyes of the aged man, you can look back into the past and see the youth. In the features of the youth, you can look forward into the future to see the man he will become. There is a similarity of feature which cannot be denied.
Then if you felt that he, Watson, was the colonel's son, why did you encourage O'Brien to arrest him?
Because he will be safer in jail than in any other place. The murderer, who so brutally cut down his aged father, will not hesitate to kill the son. And consider, Duff, what explanation can we make to O'Brien? We shall have to tell O'Brien of the inside of the case, so to speak. We can hardly expect cooperation from Sergeant if we fail to enlighten him as to facts leading up to and involving case.
Yes. We, Sir Reginald, the Colonel, all of us naturally wanted to keep the matter of the Colonel's search for his son away from the gentlemen of the press. But now
I think with proper explanation to Sergeant O'Brien, he will keep secret. All Irishmen, even if born in San Francisco, are sentimentalists. However, we have more work here.
Here are all the Colonel's business papers on this desk. I'm sure there's nothing here that can help. I've been through them all.
No? It is not an expected place. We should look for papers I seek.
No? And what papers, Charlie?
Think, please. Both of you. What was young man doing here? Searching for papers. Is that not so?
Yes, we assume that he
apparently did not find them. Or, if he did, he hid them when he heard you, Miss Evelyn, and Sir Reginald come to room. Now, where would you, if you were caught unawares, hide papers? Remember, When Fox is pursued by hounds, he eludes his pursuers by thinking like them.
All right, now, what papers would they be, and how big a package?
That question, Duff, my friend, you can answer as easily as I. Now look about you. What seems disarranged? Pictures are all straight. Desks we have searched. Carpet on floor seems taut and even. No hidden wall safe behind curtain. Wardrobe trunk is locked. Come in, please.
Oh, Reggie and the district attorney.
Yes, yes. As we saw Sergeant O'Brien. He told us what had transpired to date. We thought you might be searching for papers, so we thought we'd drop around and help you. I was going to wait till breakfast, but the old thrill of the chase, the manhunt. Even at my age, a man doesn't outlive it.
O'Brien told you about his prisoner, Mr. Holbrook?
Yes, it seems certain that he was the fellow who left his hat on the hall table. Said that he wouldn't talk and that you, Mr. Chan, recommended that he be locked up.
Indeed, yes.
Jolly maintains, and I agree with him now, that O'Brien's prisoner is the colonel's son.
By Jove, you astound me. You don't mean it.
I am certain of it. But come, explanations later. We must continue search for papers.
Well, I may not be the world's greatest searcher, but I'm certain there's nothing in this suitcase.
Searching? That's supposed to be the prerogative of the district attorney's office. Searching and finding what doesn't exist. Did you look in that flower pot?
No, but I will. A key. Looks like the key to that trunk.
I hardly think, however, that our prisoner had time to unlock the trunk, hide the papers, and relock the trunk. No? I am inclined to opinion that it is some simple place we shall find papers.
A woman, of course, would hide them under the mattress on the bed.
I'm looking there now. Sorry, afraid they're not there. Did you ask your prisoner where he hid them?
No, we did not. I do not think he would give us an answer to that question any more than he would to the other questions we asked.
Just the same, we've got our own methods. I'll call O'Brien. Hello, get me police headquarters. Yes. This is the district attorney. By the way, Inspector Chan, what do you expect to find in these papers?
I am hopeful that we will find that link which will complete for us the chain of evidence with which we shall shackle murderer.
Yes, you're pretty hopeful. I wish you and us luck. Oh, hello. Listen, this is Holbrook. Yes, where's O'Brien? I want to talk to him right away. All right, he's still there.
By the way, Duff, I wirelessed England, notified everybody I could think of.
You sent word to Gerald?
Yes. I rather imagine he'll want to make the funeral arrangements. Gerald, Mr. Chan, is the colonel's nephew, the heir to the estates.
Not if our prisoner is Colonel Willoughby's son.
Ye gods. That does complicate matters, doesn't it? I hadn't thought of that at all.
Oh, hello there, Ryan. Listen, see if you can persuade your prisoner to tell where he hid the papers he found when he was searching the colonel's hotel room. And I know he won't talk. Try a little persuasion. What's that? You did. No, don't say anything to anyone, you understand? Now listen, O'Brien, you handle this the way Inspector Chan and Inspector Duff want it handled, and you're due for promotion. Right. Goodbye.
Your tone of voice would indicate that Sergeant O'Brien had made discovery.
He has. He went through Colonel Willoughby's wallet.
And he found
a faded photograph of a young fellow in uniform. He says it's a photograph of your prisoner, Watson.
But he disclosed his findings to no one?
He hasn't so far, and I've warned him, as you heard, to keep his mouth shut.
Well, Jolly, your surmises, deductions, and eliminations are correct. Not to mention your woman's intuition, Miss Mitchell.
All of which, however, while definitely proving that we are correct, does not bring us closer to finding the murderer. That requires the finding of the other papers.
But on the other hand, Inspector Chan, you have no proof that there were or are any other papers.
No? But do you think, Sir Reginald, that this man, I do not know whether to refer to him as Watson or Willoughby, do you think that he came here searching, that he committed burglary merely on the possibility that there were papers? No, I think not. He knew that papers referring to him existed.
Do you think, Inspector Chan, that he wanted the papers to prove his identity?
I do not. I think the man has forever given up the thought of claiming relationship with the murdered man. I believe that he wished to destroy the papers, to ensure forever that the past was dead.
But why?
To answer that question as to why a human being does things contrary to natural impulses is to answer the riddle of the mind. It is to solve the problem of the insane. It is to supply the answer to what is genius. Only young Willoughby can answer that question. And we must use utmost care in trying to persuade him to do so.
Well, the only thing I know left to do is to have this room completely turned inside out. We haven't the time to do it, so I suppose we'll have to turn that over to Mr. Holbrook's staff.
It is at such moments as these that I regret not having my assistant, Kashimo, with me.
Kashimo? Oh, yes, the little Japanese I met in Honolulu.
He is the same. He is world's prized bungler. He enters with fanfare of trumpet where angels fear to tread. But he has unique faculty for interesting himself in other people's affairs. And as such, bungler though he is past master in art of searching. One moment, please. I have thought. Miss Evelyn, will you be pleased to rise from chair? Search under cushion.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chan. No papers here.
A moment's concentrated thought. If I found papers and wish to destroy same, and at conclusion of search, I am interrupted. I desire to hide papers, but also to try and assure they are being destroyed. I should remove colored paper from bottom of wastebasket, placing papers underneath colored paper. Ah, this time we are fortunate. Here are papers.
I'll be dashed.
Newspaper clippings.
By Jove, I say that's searching.
Look, here's a cutting. The London Daily Sketch. March 11th, 1916. Colonel Willoughby's son Douglas, lieutenant in King's Rifles, to be tried by a military court.
Here's another. Lieutenant prefers suicide to court-martial.
By Jove, look at this.
What is it, Duff?
Look here, everybody. Colonel Douglas Willoughby inspects Birmingham Volunteers. Here's the colonel walking down the front rank, and look who's behind him, the sergeant major.
Simmons, Mr. Blake's butler.
You are correct. Come, no time must be lost. We must question Simmons. But more than that, if murderer knows that Simmons is here at Blake's house, his life is not worth a proverbial penny.
So, Inspector Chan was right, and the murdered man was Simmons, one-time officer. But why does Inspector Chan maintain that the finding of these papers will lead the searchers to the murderer? We'll have to leave that to the Honolulu detective. After you've heard from your sponsor, Charlie Chan will be with us again. Inspector Chan, what piece of Chinese philosophy have you for us this evening?
Each day I am reminded more forcibly of those who believe that when they have spoken, they have said the last word.
Yes, Mr. Chan?
The man of good judgment proves it constantly by not relying upon his own judgment. Relying upon his wise indeed, he is not away his head, but turns not away the fool. For even the fool may speak in his life.
Thank you, Inspector Chan, and good night.